Do turn back to page 26, Matthew 24. That's what I will be speaking of. Page 26, Matthew chapter 24. Heavenly Father, this is such a wonderful truth. Help us now to take it in more deeply. Move us by your Spirit in our hearts. Give us such an absolute knowledge and glory that this is so sure that it will indeed change our lives. For the glory of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. What a tremendous privilege it is for me to be speaking today on a theme which really grips me, grips my heart, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is magnificent, as Bertie said 4 weeks ago. It is hugely important. For every single person, every believer, and every single person in this world. I don't know whether any of you came across a book called Re-entry. I think it was written 50 years ago, something like that. Re-entry. It's all about the second coming. And the person who wrote it says in the Bible, now I haven't actually checked this out, in 318 times the second coming of the Lord Jesus is mentioned. 318 times. A lot of them in the Old Testament, and we had that reading from Malachi. And the Old Testament prophets, often it's difficult to tell exactly whether it was the first coming or the second coming. But if you took it as the second coming, 318 times. Now, if the Lord Jesus says something to us once, isn't that important? Imagine 318 times, how incredibly important it is. Right, let's think a little bit about it. Firstly, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It is absolutely certain. That's the first word. It is absolutely certain. The words of the Lord Jesus are going to stand forever. And, 318 times, but let's look at this passage. And it's important because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They will never pass away. He died on the cross. But it's an empty cross because he's been resurrected. He's ascended to heaven. And that is the proof that every single word that Jesus said is true and can be trusted. It is certain. Verse 36, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The time is unknown. If anybody says to you, climb this mountain because the Lord Jesus is just about to come, don't listen. So many people through the years have taken other people off to different places and said, we're going to wait here until... No, the time is uncertain. It is not known, but except by God the Father. It is going to be sudden and unexpected. Verse 37. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing. It is going to be sudden, and it's going to be unexpected. A thief, when he comes to steal in your house, does he let you know? Does he bring you up? Does he mobile you? No, he doesn't. He arrives unexpectedly, and that's going to be exactly the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be unexpected. Fourthly, it's going to be amazing and it's going to be worldwide. Verse 43. No, go back. Verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. It reminds me, over 50 years ago, I was working in northern Uganda in constructing a new railway line. Very unusual. I was a civil engineer in those days. And in the rainy season, the whole sky was lit up by sheet lightning from east right the way through to west. I'll never forget it. Don't often see it in this country, but certainly there. And so what does this teach us? It's going to be amazing, but it's going to be worldwide. There's nobody in this world who's not going to know about it. Of course, with modern communication, perhaps we can sort of get a little bit of idea. But it's just going to be truly amazing, and it's going to be worldwide. Verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. His second coming, unlike his first, is going to be with power and great glory. And there's going to be a lot of mourning for the people who are not ready, for the people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's going to be a time of mourning. Yes, he's going to come as judge. Two people meeting there, verse 40, in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. The Lord Jesus is coming to judge. We've said it already in the creed. I wonder when we say the creed, we just slip over the words. He's coming again to judge the living, you said it already, and the dead. And of course, that parable of the sheep and the goats is so well known. But how about us believers, those who believe? I just want to read out from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because the Thessalonians obviously had a slightly wrong idea about the second coming. Paul had spoken so powerfully about it, it had gripped them so much that some of them had stopped working. But Paul writes, verse 16 of chapter 4, "For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the angel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a great, interesting, and wonderful truth. There is no limbo. Isn't that fantastic? Some of the Christian churches have got this completely wrong. Brothers and sisters, there is no limbo. We're going to go, when we die, we're going to go straight to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many funerals have I taken over the years? And I've mentioned this because it's so fantastic. People said to me, "Oh, I think when, possibly when this person dies, is he in limbo? Is he in purgatory?" If he believes in the Lord Jesus, he's going to be with the Lord Jesus absolutely straight away. Isn't that wonderful? No limbo. So, the question is, where are you and I in all this? How often do we think of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does this in any way affect the way we live? Because there can be a logical gap. Yes, in our minds, we know the Lord's going to return. We've read about it. Come Advent. We think about it. But there can be a logical gap between what we think and the way we behave and what our priorities are. A logical gap. Let me just illustrate this a little bit, so just it might be memorable. It was certainly memorable for me. They were interviewing an astronaut. I'm not going to say the country, but they were interviewing a astronaut, and the reporter was saying to him, "Why do you want to go to the moon?" And he replied, "Because God is not there." And the reporter said to him, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "No, I don't believe in God." There's a logical gap. I can always remember that. Again, probably more than 50 years ago. There is a tremendous difference in knowing this truth in your mind and believing it in your heart. Our heart is where our will is. It's where our motivation comes from. It's where our passion is. Is it in your heart deeply, so it affects the way that you live? And really the question is, how much do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the measure. If we love him fully, 100%, we love him so much that we're longing for him to return. Isn't that right? It's not just academic knowledge in our head, but it's a passion. Can't work it up. You can't work it up. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit. You can be in the right place, but as the Holy Spirit inspires us, fills us, he will fill us with the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, there should be a balance here. We should expect to live a full lifespan, but be ready at any moment for the Lord Jesus to return. Verse 42, "Keep awake, therefore, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming." Verse 44, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." That's the question. Are you ready now? Will you be ready tomorrow morning? Are you always ready for him to come? I like that translation of Philip's in Romans chapter 8. He says, all creation is on tiptoe, waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Are you on tiptoe, eagerly awaiting? Ready. If you are, it's a tremendous motivation for holy living. I've just been reading again that book by Jim Packer, my old tutor at college, The Passion for Holiness. Really get this right in your heart. It's a tremendous motivation for holy living, getting our priorities right. For sure, this is the truth. Everything that God is doing in this world is working towards the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? So, everything that we do, the question is it in line with God's will, working towards the second coming, or is it not? This is the question. When Jesus returns and he meets us, is he going to be sad or is he going to be glad? This motivation gives us enormous hope. And in the Bible, of course, hope is not uncertain. It is absolutely certain. Hope, which is enormously strengthening. There is tremendous power in hope. Let me give a little illustration. It was in this book, Reentry. He quotes from a letter written by the Canadian ambassador to Egypt who had committed suicide. He left a note saying, "I no longer have any hope." hope, this hope, can be a source of constant, continual encouragement. That's why Paul, writing to Thessalonians, says, encourage each other with this hope. Jill and I lived in Jersey for quite a few years, and I think there was this man who must have heard me speaking about this at the early 70s, because every time I saw him, he pointed in the air and he said, "The Lord Jesus is coming." I can't remember what his name was, but I can remember that. Do you, when you meet your brothers and sisters? "The Lord is coming!" So exciting, isn't it? So, let me just leave you with this thought. I've been going on for quite a long time. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Now, I don't know about you, but when I pray the Lord's Prayer, and I come to this sentence, "Your kingdom come," the two thoughts that go through my mind. First of all, Lord, come into my life to be my Lord, my King. May you be crowned. We've been singing that in the first hymn. But I also pray, Lord Jesus, come. May your kingdom come. Don't slip over it too quickly. And I recommend that to you. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, because saying the Lord's Prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer are two completely different things. When you pray it, yes, for the Lord to come and be King in my life, King in our church, King in the Anglican Communion worldwide, King, but King as he comes again in his power and great glory. I've said this before and I want to repeat it. We can't work this up. It's only the Holy Spirit. So let's often ask the Holy Spirit to live us, giving us more and more love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, dear brothers and sisters. I've been on the road for a few years now, but this I've learned. The more time I spend in prayer with the Lord Jesus, the more I love him. So, the early church prayed. The words in Aramaic were Maranatha. You find that at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Maranatha. Lord, come. It comes at the end of Revelation. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And that prayer, it's the prayer right at the end of Revelation, which is quite appropriate. Lord, come. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you are so great, so wonderful, so beyond our understanding. But thank you that you love us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ willing to die for us on that cross. Thank you, Father, that you raised him to life and that he's ascended. And thank you, Father, that you know all about this, that in the wonderful fullness of time, you're going to send your Son, the Lord Jesus, for the second time. Help us to be ready at every moment. Help us. Fill us with your Spirit so that we love the Lord Jesus more and more and more for his glory and his sake and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, who is the King. Amen.